Oh God, here we go again. Hello, everybody. It is 8:47 on June 30th, 2020. Somehow another month has slipped through my fingers, and I find myself here again, addressing the, like, dozen people that listen to these. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. And, it's the fucking monthly Q&A or whatever. Patron update, whatever the fuck. Whatever it is. I've had a few hard seltzers. I've got a few more. I'm cutting them with water. I'm cutting them half and half with water to keep myself in check. Because I have very poor impulse control. So I've got a mason jar here with half seltzer, half water. And I'm pouring it into a nice little ovoid glass here that I'm sipping from. Mango. All right. So, I guess the point of these is to address questions, but I'm not going to do questions yet. I'm going to do general updates. General updates. What is the current status of me, the person who you have decided to support financially here on patreon.com/BenSaint? How am I doing? I'm doing good. Things are good. Personally, I am sad, feel strangled, choked, terrified by the current geopolitical climate, obviously. However, that is unimportant. More importantly, on an impersonal note, as to how is my brand doing, my brand, I believe, is poised for good things. I think good things are going to happen in July. Two things mainly. One, I got over it, and I've been genuinely, sincerely working on Slime and Punishment Finale again in the last few weeks, and it is getting there. I don't think it is half done would maybe be generous. I would say somewhere between a third and half done, and I think, you know, it's gonna come together pretty soon. So that might drop in July, maybe, possibly. I could see that happening. Second, Vapors 2 Kickstarter, which I know is a bit of a meme, that it's been a while, but, you know, and I've said, oh, I've just got to wait for all my frickin' Vaporette guest artists. Well, guess what? I've now got five of them. I've got Cheesy Manfredo, Nexus Mania, Hypocrite, Kazzy Snep, Munchie Wears Tiny Hats. So I've got five out of six, and I'm still waiting for Jade Moreau, but they tell me that they are almost, they tell me that, like, the pages are drawn, they just have to do finishing touches, so, you know, seems like that's gonna happen too, so maybe that will go off in July as well, which is very exciting. These are two big deals for me, and when I'm talking about them, I'm getting a little excited just talking about it. I kind of can't believe it. But I guess when it rains, it pours, right? So yeah. June, terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. July will also be terrible. But from a certain standpoint, I guess you could say that it's looking good. Things are looking really good. And I'm very excited for all that. Other general update stuff. The PCP, okay. So I was freaking out about the PCP getting terminated and then its content blocked. It's been weeks, you know, the content got blocked like more than 2 weeks ago now, I think. And, you know, my first thought was that it was due to the... Because the notice said something about illegal activities, I thought it was because of that... a charity stream for the bail funds. I don't think so anymore. I really do think, based on all the notices that we've gotten, it really does just seem to be that this was like a delayed ban or something that was placed on the channel because as a result of the Brad Garlinghouse thing. I think they I think they just, like, after having already recognized the problem and addressed it, you know, and restored our channel, I think they then were like, oh, this channel got hacked, and banned it and deleted the content. I think that's what happened. I think it will come back. So I guess I have stopped freaking out about it so much. It upset me a lot to think that content might be gone. I am still upset when I think about that happening. I think that probably it will be back, but there's nothing I can do about it no matter what. So I guess I've just kind of taken it in stride. I don't know. There's nothing I can do about it. I think it'll be okay. I think so. I hope so. Okay, whatever. Anything else? Anything else generally to update about myself? I'm only 5 minutes in. Is there really so little to say about what I get up to that I'm done 6 minutes in? I don't know. Slime and Punishment, coming along again, getting there. PCP, fucked, but what can you do? Vapors 2, happening. It's happening, guys. It's really happening. So, I don't know. Pretty good. Pretty happy with all that. Gosh, I guess that's it. Maybe I'll think of something else in the course of reading the questions. But so let's get to the Q&A part of the Q&A podcast. We will go in chronological order. So first, it's from Sean Garrett, who says, "All right, Ben, I already can't wait for the next episode of this." Oh, wow. Oh, thank you. I'm glad somebody looks forward to it. That's heartening. "As I need a question answered by your kind self." Wow. "You know me, I'm one of those crazy people who want to do your partner lecture style of video. I'm not sure if I remember that, but I believe it, so okay. I already have my topic, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. I feel like GX is so specific. Why not just Yu-Gi-Oh! Generally? But whatever you want to do, that's fine. "I already have my topic, a whiteboard, costume and gimmick, a plethora of notes, etc. However, one major thing is stumping me right now, which is the audience factor. How important do you think a live audience is for the lecture style? Did you watch Ash Vampire's Bionicle lecture?" No. I didn't personally for myself, but this is what I'm hung up on. "I don't have any real-life friends, also into the PCP, who's also slash know who you are. So should I sit on my lecture for a long time until I could snag a live audience? Live streaming just like AV, record it live with some people in a Discord call to try to figure it out. I'm truly stumped on the specific aspect of the lecture to be. I want to know how you feel about the audience factor in lectures, as you've had the most experience with the format since you did the first one too, if I recall correctly." Yes, true. Having a live audience does add, okay. I would say it's good if you can get it. Having a live audience there to react, especially, hold on. I'm a little stumped because you say you have no real life friends who know who the PCP is, know who you are. They don't need to know who I am. They don't even need to know anything about Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. If you have any real life friends whatsoever, you could just say, "Hey, I have this thing I want to do, and I think it would be funny. Come over this day, and I'm going to give a lecture about Yu-Gi-Oh!" Just sit there and be recorded, and you can ask questions during the thing. And if you need to sweeten the pot, say you'll buy everybody pizza afterwards. Invest, you know? Okay. If you have absolutely no one who would be willing to sit through such a thing, I would say it's okay. The audience factor does add a lot and can contribute to the energy of it and can be a good thing, because people asking questions gives opportunities for you to expound upon things. But it's not essential, and you can do one without that. It's not required. But you do not need to have anyone who knows the PCP or knows who I am or any of those guys are. You don't need anything. All you need is anyone who'd be willing to come to your house or wherever you're going to do it for an hour or two or a couple hours. sweeten the pot if you gotta. Buy pizza. It's fine. That would be my recommendation. That's my advice. edit. Nate's response to the same question, a TLDW, the audience is like the second most important factor probably behind the subject matter. It doesn't matter if you have friends who don't know who the PCP... Oh, okay, he said the same thing. Get people over and just do it. He said this. Tempt them with pizza and a good funny time. He said the exact same thing. That's right. Yeah. He's right. He's correct. I agree. There you go. Ben, please stream. It was epic when you did, and maybe it'll make you feel better. Mmm, cat face. Yeah, I do. I guess I kind of miss streaming. I just want... I don't want to feel like I'm just streaming to do it. I want to feel like I'm streaming with a purpose. And so that's why I was kind of like, maybe I'll hold off until I'm ready to start another fucking thing. Like a Nuzlocke or something. That's why. I should start streaming again. But I kind of want to make it an event. I kind of want to make it the start of a thing. So I think I will not do that immediately. I think I am going to finish Slime and Punishment. I think I am going to... Maybe not get the vapors to all the way shipped, because that's going to involve... there. I have a lot of work to do with that. But I think I will... I don't think I will start streaming again until I have finished Slime and Punishment, and probably then finish editing the Sonichu 102 lecture and put that out as well, because that will be like the immediate follow-up to the Slime and Punishment finale. But after that, yeah, I will do that. Okay, next we have Zombie Paper brackets Anthony. Hold on, I need some more hard seltzer. It's good, guys. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. My recommendation brand-wise would be Truly Brand, and in particular, the Lemonade Pack. It's sweeter than the others. Zombie Paper Anthony says, hey Ben, I asked some silly Endless War question before, so here's a better one. Why did you guys go purple and pink? Okay. Well, for Munchie, I think it was obvious that he would be pink, because he had that Kirby thing going on. Why did I go purple? I don't know. I have no idea. I kind of like purple, but it wasn't like an iconic thing for me. I feel like to say like, oh, the colors just work together, because like the lime green, purple, and pink work together. They do, but I feel like that's insufficient. I don't know. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember, like, when we were thinking, when we were conceptualizing. I genuinely don't remember. I feel like if that's anywhere, it might be recorded in, like, the very early... well, not the earliest Rowdy Fuckers Cop Killers streams, but the ones that were coming out around the time the server started. Like, I think the one where we talk about... the one where we talk about colors of the PCP members, the one where I was playing, that game where you're in the pot, getting over it with Bennett Foddy, that one, or maybe the one or two before that, maybe we talked about it, because I know there were streams where we talked about how we were gonna structure Endless War before we did it. We might discuss it in those streams. I genuinely do not remember why I decided that Killers would be purple. no clue. Second, I went to the dentist today, congratulations, which you mentioned on the most recent episode of the PCP. The experience was actually nicer than usual. Have you ever got the feeling that dentists are overly friendly to the point of being phony? I feel that way about everyone. Well, I feel that way about everyone in a professional setting. Everyone in a professional setting is incentivized to be nice to you. It has eroded my confidence in all interactions. And that sounds like a bad thing, but I feel like it's just realism. Like, anyone in a professional situation who is, there is any kind of financial transaction between you and them, they're going to be nice to you. You should dismiss it, right? That's the bare minimum. It's not real. It's all fake. Just accept it and move on with your life. And it's fine. It's fine. Have you ever got the feeling that, now they never really asked me for my thoughts Wait, they never really asked me for my thoughts on the latest Endless War update while they were working on my teeth in the past. But wearing a cloth face mask and a plastic face shield does limit casual conversation. It forced them to focus on their work. I think they did a more thorough job than the last two times I went in, so good luck with your dentistry. Why were you wearing a face mask? Surely you weren't wearing it in the dentist chair. Surely. Surely. That wasn't a question, so how does mass health work? How does it work? I mean, it's just if you're under a certain income threshold, you qualify for a reduced cost form of health insurance. It's a pretty low level health insurance, but you know, basic coverage like, you know, yearly checkups and I think there's dental coverage. I haven't used it yet, which is a problem, and I need to. I actually need to start using it like soon because I'm not entirely sure how long I'm covered for. So I need to head off the possible eventuality that maybe my time runs up. I think I have till the end of the year, but I should really look into it. But yeah, that's generally how mass health works. And is it really a killer utopia that it might seem? Should I move? Oh yeah, thanks for the new RFCK Sona drawing as part of Slime and Punishment is my new RFCK avatar, and I love it. This must be edited. This must be edited because I definitely did not post that update 3 weeks ago when this comment was posted. So this must be a later edition. So, okay, fine. Thank you. You're welcome. I mean, you're welcome, but also, I mean, you're a patron at the proper level. So, you know, I was obligated to put you in there. Not that I mind or anything. But also, I don't feel like you need to thank me or anything, because that's a professional obligation that I had. However, your avatar is funny to draw, and it was funny to draw him jumping like that, and I hope you will appreciate... There's one or two other shots before that scene where you can just kind of see a little bit of him. His head kind of, like, pops into frame a little bit. I put it... He's in there. You're in there. It's gratifying for me to be like... I went through my patron list and I was like, okay, who is an RFCK boy? Who is patron at the proper level? Who do I need to get in there? And then to put them into shots. It was you and a few, maybe three or four other people who needed to be included there who qualified. And so it was very, I actually had a lot of, I was like, it was a relief to be like, oh, they're in. It's good. It's all good. Fuck you. Okay. Fuck. All right, sorry. Is it really a killer utopia that it might seem? It's good. Massachusetts is good. Massachusetts is... I don't know everything about every other state, but I feel like Massachusetts is closer to the democratic socialist utopia that we all think that maybe Europe represents than the rest of the country. Everything that I know about it suggests that it is just better than most other places in the United States. So, if you're considering moving, yeah, I would recommend consider Massachusetts. I know that living in Georgia, it was like, oh, you don't make enough money? Well, then you don't qualify for... you don't qualify for subsidized health insurance, and therefore you must pay a fee to not be health insured. Versus in Massachusetts, it's like, okay, everyone under a certain threshold qualifies for this subsidized health insurance. So it's got that going. It's not the only state that's like that, but it's got that, and that's pretty sweet. Okay, anyway, glad you like your new fucking avatar, you asshole. Fuck. Okay, Drip. Leaving a comment early, just in case I forget to ask a real question. How's Slime and Punishment finale going along, and what's the roadmap on your comics going up? Are you going to finish, continue Beastcapades before working on the Vapors? Where does the champion fit into all this? Thanks, Drip. Well, I already mentioned that Slime and Punishment is actually going well this month. finally, I've finally taken my head out of my ass and gotten to work on that, and it's going pretty good, and I think it will be done maybe this month. I think that's, I already said, but I think that's very, very possible. Do I have anything else to say about it? I will elaborate a bit on Slime and Punishment. So, the Slime and, my ethos with Slime and Punishment is, like, Hippo made, he did his Bale Jape finale, and he did a lot of work on, like, animation in the traditional sense of, like, frame-by-frame animation. And it was a lot of work, and I am not taking that approach. There is a little bit of, like, frame-by-frame animation, but, like, in the most minimal sense, like, two frames that, like, alternate between each other. That is as elaborate as I'm going to get with it. It is mostly, you know, tweens and transitions and zooms, right? My big inspiration for it was, you know, Homestuck, and by extension, it's in the vein of something like, what was it called? It wasn't S Cascade, S Descend, right? The thing that happened at the end of season one of Endless War. It's my attempt was to make it something in that vein, if maybe a little bit more elaborate. I say that, but it was pretty elaborate in its own right. So yeah, just like in the vein of that. I don't want it to mean S Descend at all, because it's very impressive and it's fucking awesome. And if the Slime and Punishment finale is that good, I will consider it a massive success, and as much as I wanted to do. Although it will be a little longer. It'll probably be maybe 2 to 3 minutes. Maybe. It's actually, I'm not entirely sure, because I'm going to have to time it to some music that I don't have yet. So I actually don't want to commit to any particular time. But so it is going to be a lot of zooms and stuff, but I have done a lot of really good, I have created a lot of transitions in Vegas that actually look really good, and I'm very happy with them. They have some kind of particle effects and some kind of lighting effects that I have just kind of thrown together in a way that just kind of works and feels good. And I feel like the bits that I have made so far have a very satisfying sense of scale to them. And that's kind of what I want. That's kind of what I wanted to do the most, is like something like, I think it was WV Rise Up was the animation where in Homestuck, where you sort of get the big zoom out and you see the like station that Wayward Vagabond is in, like rise up out of the desert, and then there's a zoom out and you see like the bigger sort of world that he is in. It's that kind of thing that I was looking for, and I feel like I have succeeded in getting that kind of effect with it, and I'm very excited about that. As to the roadmap of my comics coming up, are you going to continue Beastcapades before working on the Vapors? I think so. I have not really thought about Beastcapades or the Vapors or the Champion while Slime and Punishment has been going on, which I guess has been like, God, what, like 6 months now? Jesus. These are always subject to change, but I think that when Slime and Punishment is done, what I will want to do next will be to finish Beastcapades, and then probably the Champion, I think. And I feel like I've said this before, but I understand why you might want to ask again, because, like, you know, time keeps on slipping into the future, and who knows the status. So, yeah, current roadmap is finish Slime and Punishment, which is, Slime and Punishment is not necessarily done with the finale. I have one or two ideas for sort of post-finale things to conclude it with, to genuinely conclude it with. But, you know, do that, and then probably start thinking about, okay, get back to Beastcapades, finish Beastcapades, since that had a very particular ending in mind, since I know exactly how that needs to end, and I have a relatively clear idea of how to do it. I don't plan on making another Vapors chapter, although I might kickstart book three, and I might write some scripts and get some vaporettes made. So I don't think I'll be drawing vapors again for a little while, but I might be writing some and getting some drawn. Although that is verging on like the kind of mid that wouldn't be for probably at least a year. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But other than that, yeah. Champion would be the thing that I, after Beastcapades was done, I would go back to that. I always forget how to pronounce your name. Cuddle soul or whatever. You. Hi. You say, how would you be on the Pro-Anon Drawcast? Hey, would you be on the Pro-Anon Drawcast? Also, do you remember not liking alcohol? How do you feel about how your life has changed in the last 3 years? Would I be on the Pro-Anon Drawcast? Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe if I was bored. Do you remember not liking alcohol? I still don't particularly like it. Let me just take another swig of my... It's still bad. It's still bad, but it's kind of good. And the thing about alcohol is that it's like, what's the word? Homeopathy. It's like homeopathic remedies. It actually is more effective the less of it you have, the more you dilute it, and the less effective it becomes. That's the better. That's why I have mine right now cut half and half with water, because if it weren't like that, I would drink the entire case faster than I could handle it. I would black out. I might throw up. So, you know, you just gotta know your limitations, plan for them, strategize. And that's what I've done. And that's what's happening. How do you feel about how your life has changed in the last 3 years? God, where was I 3 years ago? Where was I 3 years ago? I'm going to go to the Procrastinators Podcast YouTube channel, and I'm going to look at what were the uploads 3 years ago. What was going on? 3 years ago, we were doing... I'm being a little pedantic, but since you specified a number, I'm just gonna go with it. 3 years ago, I guess I had just ended Nuzlocke Conquest. And I think I... Was I living with Digi then? No, I think I moved in with Digi later. God, I don't know if I'm even remembering this right, but... No, because we did RadCon 3 in, like, March of 2018. Okay, so, yeah, I was... Wait, and then... We did RadCon 3 in March of 2018. I moved in with Digi on, like, October of, like, 20... It couldn't have been October 2017. It had to be October 2016. And then I moved to Georgia in, like, June of 2017? So... Yeah. Okay. So, okay, if my timeline is right, well, I mean, first thing, I got out of a really horrible, miserable relationship. So, right off the, like, massive improvement over the last 3 years. Other than that, wait, no, that hasn't been 3 years. No, that's been, like, 2 years. So I'm fucking up. No. Okay, I got... No, okay. Yeah, that was 2018. I know. So I moved in like June of 20. So, okay. So in 3 years, like I got into and out of that relationship. So basically, so that's a wash in 3 years. And then so basically I went from living at Digi's house to back to the place I live now, where I live now, and also where I lived before Digi's. And yeah, so, well, financially, I'm like way more solid. Like, YouTube ad revenue has actually helped me a lot. Because like now, like YouTube ad revenue from like the Sonichu lecture in particular, but like my channel in general, actually has helped me out a lot with like being able to pay rent and stuff. Other than that, I guess I would say, I guess full disclosure, other than that, I'm not very happy with how much with how much things have changed, with how I've progressed or whatever. I guess I feel like not that much has changed, except for that I have more resources now, which is good. And I probably could do more with them if I knew what to do, but I don't. So I don't have a lot more to show for things now than I did then. But it's not because I have like failed in achieving them. I guess it's because I don't really know what I should be doing. All I know is eat hot chip and lie. No, all I know is just, you know, keep making content or whatever, to whatever extent I find myself capable of doing so, and hope for the best, and what the best is, I don't really know. And I guess I have done that and have found some level of success from it. Some level of security has been created via that process. But I still just fucking live in a room. I'm just still here, just kind of chilling. And like, I don't know. I guess it's like, well, not much has changed, but like, what do I want to change? I don't know. So I hope that answers your question. Kasol, I'm feeling a little bit unsettled now as a result of contemplating it. So I hope you are equally unsettled, if not more so. House Sound says, Ben, do you do commissions of any sort? I could like probably look it up, but I want to hear about your thoughts on commissions, and if you're not doing them, why? I mainly want to look for a commission artist to draw some stuff for my novel. House Sound, I don't put out like, I don't have like a regular commission. I don't do them regularly, and I don't have like a regular rate or anything. In the past, I have occasionally put out calls for like, hey, I'll do commissions, like not very many, but I have done it before, and it has not really drummed up a whole lot of business. But I will occasionally do, well, I mean, I do have like art rewards for patrons on Patreon. So you might count those as commissions, but I don't really consider them the same thing. I have done commissions for people, mostly through just people contacting me being like, hey, I'll pay you money if you'll draw me this thing because I like your art style. And I have done that before. And that's cool. That is something that I will do. And I will just kind of, because it's so specific, right? It's like, okay, well, what do you want? Do you want a landscape? Do you want a whole scene? Do you just want a character art? Do you want a full body? Do you want a bust? Like, what kind? Do you want a chibi or something? Or do you want, like, how detailed do you want? It's like, what exactly are you looking for? Generally, I don't do commissions, but if someone contacts me asking me, saying, like, I want to commission you, I will say, like, okay, what do you want? And then I will hear out what they want, and I'll kind of just think like, well, okay, how long will that take me? What kind of work would be involved? What is that time investment that I would expect to put in worth to me. And then I will give them a ballpark number and be like, okay, well, how about this price? And maybe we'll negotiate from there. Or maybe they'll just say, yeah, good. And if they say, yeah, good, I'll say, darn, I should have asked for more, because clearly that is what, that's fine, but whatever. So that's my commission policy. I don't seek them out. And the reason why I don't is because I don't feel like, I don't really like doing them. It's not that I hate it or anything, but it's like, if I'm gonna be drawing, I would, generally I would rather be drawing something for one of my projects, like for Slime and Punishment, say, for example. But, you know, if I'm gonna spend the time drawing, but someone is willing to pay me enough that I feel like it's worth putting that energy towards their thing instead in exchange for the compensation, then it's like, okay, fine, sure, no problem. Generally, I find that the amount that I'm willing to do that for is kind of high. Like, this is not, I don't mean to self-aggrandize or anything, but like, a lot of artists are willing to work for rates that I find very cheap, and I'm like, gosh, to do like, I don't know, like a $10 commission for someone's like character portrait or something, I'm like, God, in the time that it would take me to do that, I could, you know, knock out some editing on the Slime and Punishment finale, or knock out, you know, a panel or two on the next page of The Champion or something like that. So my rates are high is what I'm, my rates are high, and it's not something that I'm super drawn towards doing, but I do them if someone comes at me with an offer that I like. That's the gist of it. Okay. Drip says, is there a game art style that really meshes with you, regardless of the actual quality of the game? In general, I like pixel art. I am from that era where pixel art was a thing. And I like minimalist style. So I guess the first thing that pops to mind is something like Downwell is a style that I really like. It's you know, it's very clear, it's very clean, it's very bold in its colors and stuff, and it's minimalist in a way that I find very appealing. So, I mean, I guess if you want one strong example, then yeah, something like that. Something like Downwell is like, looks great, love it. If you had to have a game based on or featured in the universe of one of your comics, which comic? I mean, I already made a game. Well, spoilers, but fuck it. I already made a game about The Champion, which I just kind of tried to make like a pixelated version of the way the comic looks, which, you know, looked good, and I liked it. This is a bit of a quagmire, because I did kind of start this process and then drop it, and there are individuals who I feel like maybe I should have been a little more responsive to, who I maybe need to kind of get back to and might need to make some amends if this process is going to continue. But I was considering giving the same treatment to Slime and Punishment in a post-finale denouement sort of context. I don't remember if I've ever mentioned that before. I probably have, honestly, but I don't remember, so I'm a little like, ooh, is this a spoiler? I don't know. Fuck it. You're a patron. You deserve the inside scoop. So here it is. And honestly, if I did that, it would probably look very similar to how the Champion game looked. It would be in color. It would be, you know, that kind of Super Nintendo level of like pixelated. Because maybe it's just because I grew up playing the Super Nintendo, but I just really like the look of that. I think it looks great. I think it's, you know, in terms of like return on investment for like creating assets, I think that look is like a very nice little like high, what's the word for like a inflection point? No. Equilibrium point? Like, that's a peak, is what I'm saying. Whatever. So yeah, that's the kind of look of a game that I like, and that's the kind of what kind of game would I make related to a comic? Well, I already made one, and I'm thinking of making another. So there you go. And all right, Bevan. Gummies. Bevan says gummies. For the coconut oil, you'd need more of whatever emulsifier. I don't remember exactly what this is in response to, but I do remember mentioning adding coconut oil to the gummies and realizing that it just kind of sort of separates out and hardens on top of it and not liking it. Right. An emulsifier would help with that. What exactly emulsifier to use, I don't know. I have other... I wonder if something like carrageenan would work as an emulsifier. I don't know. Literally all I did in terms of like deciding what ingredients to use in my freaking gummies is I bought a bunch of Smart Sweets and looked at the ingredients and was like, okay, let me get those. And then I maybe got one or two other things that seemed neat, like agar agar is how I say that. Just to see. So that was my process. So if there are, I don't think there are any, there are no emulsifiers listed on there that I not, anything that might serve as an emulsifier is already in my possession. So maybe if I use the right combination of like carrageenan and a coconut oil, I might find that it emulsifies and prevents separation like that. I don't know. But interesting point. You can make pectin kind of easy, but I don't know how pure it'd have to be. I have made pectin before. I have separated pectin from, what's the word? Muscadine grapes. It was not particularly pure. I have a form that is very pure, relatively speaking. It has worked pretty well. Actually, one time it worked too well, and I put it in my frickin' gummies, and they came out solid, like hard candy. I don't actually know if it was the pectin. The pectin had something to do with it, but I also did cook the mixture down it stayed over heat for a relatively long time, so I might have just cooked it down a lot and removed a lot of the moisture, and that probably also contributed to the hardness, but it was like hard candy. It was wild. So I feel like the pectin is good in terms of like creating a solid substance. But purity is important. I don't want sugar in there. I don't want sugar. That's bullshit. Weigh your fucking ingredients, you mongrel. Volume is not a reliable measurement in baking, let alone the alchemy of candy making. I don't know. I guess I think that I still feel like I'm in the sort of exploratory stage of perfecting recipes. So I feel like I don't want... It just seems like so much of a hassle to go around, like, weighing to the gram. I do actually have a fairly accurate kitchen scale that I have not used because I'm just like, fuck it. You know, I'm still kind of hoping to sort of stumble on a good combination of things, and which I can then be like, okay, this is going to be my base, and I'm going to work off of this and just try and refine it. I don't feel like I'm at the point where I'm like, I have my basic template that I'm going to work off of, and I'm not at the refining point yet. I've gotten good results, but I haven't gotten any that are like, yeah, this is it, right? So I'm not at the refining point stage. But at that point, I will have to be very precise. Bevan says, I also like the Ben girl design image. Me too. I liked the giant sloshing titties bulging out of the top. That was something that I found very compelling. thanks for sharing. You're welcome. I meant people using you as a vessel to talk to Digi Nate, or like you as a member of their extended universe instead of as a person or yourself. I'm gonna have to go back and see what she said about on the last one. Load more comments. Scrolling back. Bevan said, love the podcast again. You didn't sound stupid at all. Sorry I'm late for Gloom. Hey, speaking of sounding stupid, time to drink some more hard seltzer.
Hey.
How do you feel about being affiliated with people like Digi or Nate and having people go through you? Oh, having people go through you for them seems like hell, to be honest. It actually doesn't happen very often. Like, I don't get like many messages or anything being like, hey, tell me like, hey, pass this message on. I feel like probably Nate gets that more because he's seen as sort of managerial role for the PCP. So I feel like Nate probably gets that for Digi more than I get that for Nate or Digi. I don't actually get that much, which is good, because that would be really annoying. And if I did get it, I would probably just ignore it. So there you go. On to questions. As always, the perfect amount. How has your perception of time been going? My perception of time is... Oh God, I don't know. It's not that interesting, but I feel simultaneously that the time under quarantine has rushed by in the blink of an eye, but also that it has dragged on for an eternity, and I feel the worst parts of both of those things. So the benefit of being dragging on for an eternity might be that it was rich with experiences. The benefit of flashing by in an instant might be that I'm not bored. I don't feel either of those things. I feel that it was extremely boring, but also fully poor in experience. So the worst parts of both of those things. So very bad. My experience of time, very bad. Are you at all involved / do you care at all about being deposed in Endless War? I think... do I care? Yes. But I like it. I'm glad. I'm proud that they saw me hoarding all the gummy worms to myself and decided to take it upon themselves to do something about it. You know what? I'm proud of them. You know, I'm glad that they have not lost the spark. And if, you know, if I get deposed, so be it. You know, I've been deposed before. Ephraim was the cop killer for a while, under certain definitions of that term, and that was fine. So if that happens again, you know, it's all just part of history. You know, it's just the flow of time will go where it goes, and I'm just a twig. In that stream, floating under the bridge, that one might play poo sticks with. Anyone here who knows me from the poo videos, that's a treat for you, my dudes. And that's how I feel about it. It's good. I'm glad things are happening. Whatever. It's like, no matter how much the Endless War people misbehave, I'm just like, aw, bless them. Aw, bless them. I'm glad they're excited. I'm glad they're doing their thing. It's good. Lamau. How do you feel about both Endless War and RCK as things you are involved with? When you say, it's funny that you say both Endless War and RCK. I feel like those things are the same now. How do I feel about Endless War? I'm extremely proud of Endless War. I feel blessed to be one of the creators of that, and I am so happy to see it become this sort of continually evolving organism, I'm so overjoyed that anyone, that it gained enough of a community around it that certain individuals decided that they wanted to pro bono, just for their own gratification or whatever, just like become coders on the team of people that are making it and continuing to add stuff to it. I could not be more gratified by any outcome than that. It's a miracle. As for RFCK, it's nice to talk to Munchie every once in a while and just talk about shit. And so that's cool too. How are the pins going? Good. Slower than I like. The last thing that happened with the pins was that I ordered them to... I placed an order for them to craft the molds and make samples of all the ones that have not been made yet. There were 18 different designs that still needed to be molded. So I placed that order, and I paid for it, and they're doing it. They told me that, I asked again, like, a week into it, I was like, hey, when am I going to get those molds? And they were like, oh, well, there's 18 of them, so it's going to take 25 days. I don't know why it would take 25 days. Like, it doesn't seem like it should take more than a day to craft a mold and make a sample. I don't know why it's taking that long, but that's what they said, and I can only take their word for it. So, whatever. Anyway, so they're making the samples. I'll get them. I'll look at them. I'll make any final color adjustments, and they'll be like, okay, a billion of each, please. And the coin I basically have a file for, but I need to do some final conferring about, like, the size. I haven't settled on what size I want the coin to be, but I have the design for it. And so probably before the final pin samples are made, I will be sending off the coin file and be like, okay, make a coin, and then they will probably make that along with it, and I'll... So, part of me thinks that the pins and the coin and stuff might be also done this month, along with the Vapors, possibly the Vapors 2 and the Slime and Punishment finale, but a bigger part of me thinks that that might be a little optimistic, so I don't know. It'll get done as soon as it gets done. It's taking the trajectory that it must. Can I still send you another $10 for a Nega Slime and a second Podrifman? Yes. I haven't mentioned this. I haven't really brought it up a lot because I feel like there's no point at the moment. But, like, when I get all the pins, I will put out an announcement that's like, hey, anyone who has, like, whatever the opposite of buyer's remorse is, non-buyer's remorse, who is like, okay, well, I didn't buy them during the Kickstarter, but actually I do, I wish I did, or I want to get some. Yeah, I will, anyone who wants to will be able to, you know, order some extras or whatever, order through PayPal. I will put out an ad, everyone. I will pin a message about that. And it will just be dependent on, like, how many overstock we have, but because I think the minimum for each pin is going to be, like, 50 at the minimum, maybe even up to 100, I feel like overstock is not going to be that limited, and so probably most people will be able to get anything they want, even if they're ordering late. Probably. which music have you been listening to? Oh, that's embarrassing. I don't listen to music. I just, like, don't do it. I just, for a while there, I was cranking out Slime and Punishment, and I was listening to Bad Religion. And then I got tired of it, and I just haven't really listened to music very much since. Since then, honestly, and this is bizarre, the thing I've been listening to the most has been Running Shine's review of Y2K, the game. That is a video that I will put on and just listen to in the background over and over again. I've listened to, like, half a dozen times now. That's what passes for music for me. I don't know. I'm a fucking freak. I'm a demon. I can't explain anything about myself. Have you ever tried making music? I did. Yes. I made... This must have been back in, like... 2013 or 2014. I don't know. I don't know if that's right, but that's my best guess. There was a Homestuck put out a call for fan-made music track. They were like, write us a song. The call was like, write us a song about a character. That's what they said. A song about a character. And the idea was that if you made, like, they would pick winners basically, but they would pick their favorites and they would put them on an album, right? So they were like, write a song about a character. If we like it, we will put it on an album. So I downloaded fucking, was it Fruity Loops or GarageBand? I don't fucking remember. It was something. I got some music making program and I made a song. And the song that I made, I remember thinking that it sounded kind of good. I'm sure it wasn't amazing or anything, but it was like kind of nice. I liked it. And I don't know if I have the file anywhere or not. I might have. You know what I'm going to do? After I'm done recording this, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and look in my email and see if maybe I have the file as an attachment in an email. I don't know if the email that I might have sent it from back then might even still exist anymore. So I don't know. It might have been lost forever. But I'll take a look. I'll take a look and I'll do my best. And if it exists, I'll fucking post it. So the song that I wrote, you know, I'm a fucking hipster and I have to go against the grain. So the song that I wrote was for the, I'm not going to explain what any of this means if you're not a Homestucker, but it was for Denizen. It was for the Denizen Typhius, which is the Denizen of John's planet, the land of wind and shade. So I used wind instruments, right? And I have like wind sounds in the background, and I the main melody of it was with like panpipes. Obviously it was a synthesized like panpipe approximation, but that's what I was going for, right? And so yeah, I made a little tune here and I submitted it to the contest, and it didn't win. And as it turned out, the contest was specifically the album that ended up being made of contributors' songs for this contest was a pair of two albums that were troll concept album. So they said write a song about a character, but the only characters that actually had songs about them on the albums were the trolls and the Dancesters. So writing a song about Typhius was a completely misguided effort and stood no chance of being accepted anyway. So yeah, but that was the only real attempt I think I've ever made at, like, making music, and I think I remember that I thought I did an okay job, but in, like, who the fuck knows? Maybe if I heard it now, I'd say, haha, terrible. I'm sorry, I'm looking back, I'm lost my place in the question. Oh, no, I'm looking at last month's. Can I $10? What is it like doing PCP? Okay. What is it like doing the PCP with two people versus three versus five? Which do you prefer? Both taking and not taking into account the monetary difference. Yeah, the money per episode is split fewer ways with less people, so obviously there's a monetary incentive for less people. Whatever, that's not interesting. How's your rose breeding going? Are you still playing Animal Crossing? Finally, how's it going? I feel like I have adequately addressed how it's going thus far, so I'm not going to specifically comment on that. How's the rose breeding going? I have not played Animal Crossing, like, I don't think all month. I actually feel really bad about that. I really feel like I've abandoned it because I have this big, like, landmass sort of carved out to create my, like, perfect little, like, urban utopia on. And so now it's just an eyesore. I don't know if anyone has even been playing. Maybe one of my roommates might have played a little this month, or maybe two, but like not very much. And so maybe there's no reason to feel bad because nobody is having to suffer the eyesore. But man, it feels, I do really feel like I abandoned something halfway through. But like, also, I mean, there are more important things like Slime and Punishment. Obviously, I could do both of these things, obviously, but will I? Would I? Who knows? I do feel like getting back in at some point and finishing that project, but this month I have not. So how is the rose breeding going? It's not. I've just been ignoring it. Lamau. Anyway, what is it like to... Okay, with two people versus three versus five. Fewer people is generally fine. You know, the energy is lower. There's less opportunity to just kind of like sort of check out and just let the conversation go where it may. Like, okay. When this is something that I find particularly with Nate and Digi. Nate and Digi will frequently talk about things that I do not care at all about, but they are also very verbose. So when like Nate or Digi are on an episode, there are times when I can just kind of like be like, whatever. This is, I don't give a shit about what's being said. I'm just going to check out. And so being on an episode with Nate or Digi, or this is true of just more people in general, but with them in particular, it's like less work. It's like it requires less of my mental focus. But also, that's annoying. So in a way, being on an episode with fewer people or with people who kind of go off on tangents I'm not interested in, with being on an episode with more of that is less work, but more annoying. And being on an episode without that is a little more work, but maybe less annoying. And lately I have felt like it's nice to sort of make a connection. It's nice to have a more sort of intimate conversation, like being on with just Hippo or with like Hippo and Tom is like, it's kind of just, we're just chilling. We're just chatting. And I have appreciated that more than like, I don't know. Being on with Nate or Digi so often feels like just like talking shop, like talking biz, talking about the business end of it. And like, I don't like that. I'm generally when that comes up, I'm like, okay, I'll listen for if anyone says my name, and in the meantime, I'll just kind of think about something else or whatever. If anyone needs me, let me know. So I guess it would depend on my mood. But lately, the way I've been feeling lately, I like being on it with fewer people. I like being on it in a more low-key, low-energy kind of way. That's something that is good for me, and I like. Is it good for the audience? Is that what the people want, the masses? I don't know, and I don't care. Let them eat cake. Let them listen to two-man podcasts for all I care. I can't get drunk on this half seltzer, half water, no matter how hard I try. I would puke from having my stomach too full before I got intoxicated off of this. And that's by design. That's intentional. That means the plan is working. Okay, good. Okay, good. So I mean, that's it. That's it. I'm at the fucking end of the fucking... I'm at the end of the fucking podcast. And hey, it's been an hour, so I guess that's about what I shoot for with these. So, nailed it. Ow! Okay. Well, thank you for listening. If you're here, I appreciate your support. I appreciate your continued support, and I'm glad you give a shit. To just hear me ramble for an hour. Okay. There's only 2 hours left before midnight, and I'm gonna post this immediately. I will go and check and see if I can find that music file. I'm not super confident that I can, but even if I can, I might not find it tonight. I might not find it before the episode goes live. So I guess maybe check back like in a bit, and maybe if I do find it, I'll have posted it then. Or if not, then I will add an edit to the text post saying, yeah, I took a look and I couldn't find it. This is like, I'm taking this opportunity to go back and take a look and see if I can find that file, because every now and then I think, like, what if I went back and found that file? What if I went and looked for that? I wonder if I still have that file somewhere in an email account that I could download from. And then I never do it. So now I'm taking this opportunity. But anyway, thanks for listening. And hey, if you're going to be around for next month and you want me to answer one or many of your questions, I don't give a fuck how many. I'll go for 2 hours if that's what it takes. I don't give a shit. Post them in the comments down below, and I will fucking read it and answer it if an answer is required. All right. Hey, July is going to be good. We got good things. I don't know about we. Maybe you have a miserable July lined up. Statistically, that's probably true. But me, my July is going to be fucking based. So, you know, keep your eye out for that. And be jealous. All right. Good things are happening. For me. Not necessarily for you. But who gives a shit about that? All right. Fuck. 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 End of the podcast. Good night, everybody.